Trevor Noah investigated the legal maneuverings of the health products giant Johnson & Johnson to avoid liability for its popular talcum baby powder. The New York Times says the company's facing thousands of lawsuits, oh my, over allegations that its powder was contaminated with asbestos. Boy, that's a 20-second setup just to tell you a couple late-night jokes. Trevor said, you can't be selling baby powder with asbestos in it. People are rubbing the stuff all over their bodies, not to mention the cocaine dealers who mix it in with their product. Now you've got innocent cokeheads snorting asbestos. It's unacceptable. Johnson & Johnson has found a cure, but unfortunately, it's not a cure for the cancer. It's for the company's legal problems. Johnson & Johnson founded an alternative company, LTL, in Texas, dumped all the billions of legal liability into it, and then promptly filed for bankruptcy. Trevor said, this is insane, people. Johnson & Johnson is pretty much trying to do the first thing everybody thinks of when they get caught. Blame it on your evil identical twin. I mean, we've all tried it, but somehow it actually works if you're a large corporation. Honestly, I'm almost impressed. I just wish they put as much effort into the COVID immunity as they did into legal immunity. Wow. The Hollywood Reporter asked a question to a bunch of comedians. The question, the last time I hurt myself laughing, dot, dot, dot. All right, premise is, the last time I hurt myself laughing, dot, dot, dot. Kevin Hart, watching my daughter do an impression of me. Taika Waititi, I was on mushrooms. I started laughing at something, fell to my knees, and knocked my patella out of place. Awkwafina said, my cousin sat on a brownie, and for 45 minutes, I didn't know where it was, and because I thought it was hilarious, I didn't tell her until my grandma thought she had pooped and the jig was up. Judd Apatow, I don't remember, but soon it will be Jackass Forever. Robin Thede, every day on the set of a black lady sketch show. Boy, the self-plugs are shameless. Natasha Rothwell was probably when I was watching season 3 of Sex Education. In episode 3, Cynthia and Jeffrey have athletic sex that accidentally kills their cat. The moment is so incredibly shocking, tragic, and hilarious. I was down for the count. Michael Schur said, never. I'm a very responsible laugher. For me, I cracked up watching the Dana Carvey Too Funny to Fail special on Hulu. That is far and away the funniest thing I've seen in some time. You know, that reminds me, I got to start making my end of year list right now. That's probably number one. I'm going to pause the podcast and make a note right now for end of year. End of year, number one, Dana Carvey thing. You know, while we're doing this, I've been meaning to give my updated comedy rankings. I might as well just do it now because I'm at that part of the document. Ready? Here are Johnny Mac's updated comedy rankings for November 2021. Number one, Dave Chappelle. Do I have to tell you why? No. We talked about Dave Chappelle for 3 straight weeks. He is the number one most paid attention to thing in comedy right now. When Dave cracks the mic, everybody pays attention. So number one, most powerful comedy ranking, whatever this is, list, Dave Chappelle. Number two, James Austin Johnson, the impressionist guy from the new season of Saturday Night Live. His Trump crushed it. I'm moving him all the way up the list to number two. Number three, Joe Rogan. We seem to talk about him a lot, both on the show and in just general popular culture. So Joe Rogan's number three. Number four, Jerry Seinfeld. We talk about him a lot. He seems to come up, so we'll put Jerry at number four. Number five, Lorne Michaels for anything SNL. Number six, Bowen Yang, who is fantastic. Absolutely crushes it every time he's on SNL. Number seven, Tim Dillon. If you're not checking out Tim Dillon's podcast, you should. And remember, as I always tell you, eventually Tim is going to step on the landmine and I'm going to deny ever saying I like the Tim Dillon podcast. So, you know, when that happens, I've never even heard of Tim Dillon, but today he's number seven. Number eight is Bill Burr. And I don't have anyone else on the list, so I guess this is a top eight. I didn't want to just add two names just to get to 10. Those are my comedy rankings. What are your comedy rankings? Go on Facebook under Groups Daily Comedy News Podcast, and I would love to hear your thoughts on the updated comedy rankings. Gilbert Gottfried was being interviewed by WTOP, and the fire alarm went off in his hotel during the interview, and Gilbert said, I'm evidently in a burning building. At least this will be a valuable interview if I'm burned alive. I wish I could take credit for coming up with the idea of a fire alarm in the middle of everything. This is funnier than anything I've ever come up with. Gilbert then talked about being dropped by Affleck. Remember, he used to voice the Affleck duck until his tsunami joke back in 2011. Gilbert said, they dropped me. Every time some tragic event happens or something in bad taste, I like to make jokes about it. It's what I do. I found out that 90% of their business was in Japan, so they fired me. They got loads of free publicity by firing me, then got a new guy to imitate my voice for less money, thus bringing closure to a horrible tragedy. Jimmy Carr spoke to LAD Bible. He's promoting his new self-help book, Before and Laughter. I don't love that name. Jimmy said, it's a weird thought to think everything I've ever done is being watched today by someone. It's all out there. People are clicking on it, watching it, and enjoying it. And it's all perfectly acceptable until one day it isn't. But I suppose that's a reason to relax and sit back and enjoy, because you kind of go, well, it's already out there. The line that ends my career, I've already said it. Nothing I can do about it now. Relax. And it's okay, because it was a joke, and jokes are these very special things where you take a very serious thing lightly and you try and process it and get through it. There's a weird sensation where you kind of go, I told that joke at 10:30 at night in a theater to a paying audience, and now someone's watching it at 8:30 in the morning on YouTube. I mean, I think it's not so bad when people watch them, because it's clearly narrowcasting, not broadcasting. People are seeking out those clips. That's their sense of humor, which they share with me, and they like that stuff, so that's great. It's when it gets reported in the paper that I think some of those lines don't work well written down. When it's reported speech, it seems a little weird. If you think I'm funny, you're right. If you think I'm not funny, you're right. Your sense of humor is like your taste in food or your sexual preferences. Some people like it mild, plain meat and potatoes, no gravy please, it's a bit too much. And some people like the spicy stuff, like the crazy curries and kinky sex, great rough comedy, fabulous. As long as it's consensual, I've got no problem. It's Sunday, which means I've posted a new episode of the weekly comedy thing. What's that? It's the one-hour show I host on the Live by Live app. That app is free, Live X Live, if you're searching for it in your search engine, as people searching do. So what happens on that show is I can play comedy bits. So say I told you a story about Jimmy Carr. What I would do then is play a bit by Jimmy Carr. So on that show, more comedians, less me. It's kind of like the opposite of this show, but with the same genesis. But here I can't play bits because of royalties and stuff. There I can. So less me, more comedy. Here, less comedy, more me. The weekly comedy thing on the Live by Live app. Check that out. JV Club asked Bobcat, looking back at your lifetime of stand-up, do you have a favorite bit? Bobcat said, that's interesting. I think I'm partial to the bit in the show where I just went up on The Tonight Show and said my dog died, and I made an old man jump through hoops instead, you know? I guess I always like the concept stuff more than the actual bits. Like in Comic Relief, I remember saying that people sing better in the shower because they're relaxed. I think I'm funnier in the shower. I was saying I was nervous, and then I did a monologue in a shower. New York Comedy Festival comes to an ending tonight. Zach Zimmerman, the reopening. He's at Union Hall at 5:30 p.m. New York time. Esther Pavitsky, she's wonderful. She's at Gramercy at 6:30. Ginny Zagrino, special taping, at 6:30. And Andrew Santino live. You know him. He's the comedian with the red hair. He shows up on shows. He's on this season of Dave, the Little Dicky Show. Andrew Santino, Town Hall, 7 o'clock. Sam Morrill, Gramercy at 8 o'clock. So that's a pretty good set of Sunday shows for the New York Comedy Festival, which wraps up. The Laugh Button reports the guys from Broken Lizard. You know them. They made Super Troopers. They're getting back together. It's called Quasi, and it's a parody of The Hunchback of Notre Dame. It's funny. Since I went to Paris last year, every time I say Notre Dame in the American way, I feel weird. I'm just used to saying it in French now. I get that the American thing is Notre Dame and the church over there is Notre Dame, but it's just weird. Quasi will be a Hulu original, won't be out until next year. Jack Whitehall says, I'm probably not doing any more stand-up. I'm bored by the sound of my own voice. Oh no, this from Chortle. Jack Whitehall said, I certainly felt after the last tour like I needed to stop for a bit because I don't feel like I have anything to say or add to the discourse. I'm bored by the sound of my own voice, and I want to go away and live my life a bit and have some more experiences and write and come back with something more interesting to talk about. He tells a story about how he flew from New York to Eastern Europe, where he was filming Travels with My Father. For a screen test for Jungle Cruise, Whitehall said, my dad was absolutely furious. I flew to New York with 5 hours of sleep and then went in and did this audition with Emily Blunt. She was amazing. The minute I walked in, she put me completely at ease and was completely charming and friendly. I improvised a lot of the audition and she went with it. Literally had to go from the audition, arrived in Budapest, and was filming off the plane. Then I was in a nightclub in Romania with some of the crew because I couldn't hack not knowing anymore. So I went to get drunk with all of them. Got a call at 1 a.m. and they said, I've got the part. I went and bought everybody in the club a drink. What was the bar bill? Jack said, it was astronomical. He was excited to work with The Rock when he first walked on the set. He said, whatever you do, remember to be professional. Don't turn yourself into a fan. He was one of those people where, because wrestling was his passion, he was over the moon to talk about it. And that was the breakthrough when I realized we could talk about wrestling. Chortle says not all of Jack Whitehall's auditions were so successful. He talked about an open casting for Harry Potter coming to his school, Dragon School in Oxford. Jack recalls that his dad pulled him out of school, drove me down to London, got me in there with a casting director, went in, had a private one-on-one because dad had pulled some strings. absolutely flunked it. I don't think I'd read the whole book. I wasn't a very good actor when I was a child. Very awkward. Didn't get the part. 2 weeks later, they cast Emma Watson from the open casting at the school. Wow. And staying on that side of the pond, which is something I don't think anybody actually says. Like, it's a thing you say, but does anybody actually say? You know what I mean? There's a Jaws play. It's called The Shark is Broken. It's extending its West End residency. The Shark is Broken stars Ian Shaw, son of original Jaws movie star Robert Shaw. It'll now run until February 13th. In the comedy play, we see the characters Roy Scheider and Richard Dreyfuss, played by different people. The show depicts the men's frustrations on the increasingly over-budget movie, which went 104 days past schedule thanks to the demands of a relatively new kid on the block, Steven Spielberg. Ian Shaw plays his dad, Robert Shaw, and he's costumed and a dead ringer for his father. The Shark is Broken captures the sheer, long-winded boredom of its three actors as they measure out their days in card games, sparring, and in Shaw's case, heavy drinking. The Shark is Broken. If you're in the West End, you might as well do that. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow this show on Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. If you enjoy what I do here and you want to throw in a couple bucks in the tip jar, go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. I will take your $5. I will go to National Donuts chain. I will say to the app, hey, app, large iced coffee, caramel and milk. I won't actually talk to any humans. I'll drive to the National Donuts chain while listening to my own podcast because that's how I quality control the show. When I get there, the podcast will be like half over. I'll walk in. I'll see the coffee. I will think of you. I will get back in the car. I will listen to the second half of the podcast and then record another episode on which I will say your name. Is that not worth it? Buymeatcoffee.com/dailycomedynews. See you tomorrow.